Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and good to see everyone here tonight. Why don't we go ahead and stand, and then we're going to get started here in just a moment. I heard, we'll just visit for a second while people are gathering. I heard awesome things about yesterday, and does everybody know that Brother Dario got the Holy Ghost yesterday? Hey, man. I got like 5 texts, and I was in the middle of nowhere. I couldn't even respond. I was so happy. And then I was able to talk with Brother Adam and different ones about last night, yesterday morning, and just sound like I had a great time in the Holy Ghost and excited about that. I was with Brother Lance Myers, his church. Neat to see what God's doing there, and had good, great services as well. And got to see they bought some property recently. I think it's right around 25 acres, and just really, really neat. And they're doing well, but I was wishing I was here and excited about what the Lord is doing. And we got home just a little bit ago. I came home, hugged Marilyn. Avalyn wasn't even there. I haven't got to see her yet. And rushed over here, and because I believe this is important. I'm going to skedaddle right after this to go see my girls, though, but anyway, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Good to be here with you tonight. We'll just take a quick moment, shake hands with somebody next to you, and just tell them it is good to see you. Seated, we'll let's just say a quick prayer. We want God's blessing and smile on this. I do believe this is very practical, but this is also a spiritual thing, and we want God's blessing and smile in all that we do. So let's just pray together. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. God, that we thank you that we're gathered together with your people, and for the opportunity, God, to learn of you, and we believe we really are learning of you as we pursue this area. God, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So how's everybody doing?
Doing okay? Yeah? Budgets? We're getting budgets? I did want to mention this. We said this early on, but does anybody remember how long you should give your budget before you even expect it to kind of get dialed in? Do you remember the length of time they recommend? 3 months. 3 months. And so you should be adjusting every month and trying to get to a realistic, realistic but also doable budget that works for you and your spouse, or if you're not married, for your finances. And so give it time. Give it time. It's awkward. It's like anything that's new. And so every month, take that budget, redo it, look at it. What was out of whack? If maybe your food budget was not realistic and either too low, too high, change that. And but what do you do if you change something? We want to end up with remember the term we used? Yeah, zero based budget. And which means that all monies are accounted for. Now, if there's money left over, that just goes into savings, into your baby steps, etc. So, good deal. How about anybody? How are we doing on the baby steps? And we're all at different stages, and that's perfectly fine. And is anybody else hit any of these stages? Somebody's covering their face. Anybody hit like that baby step one that maybe hadn't last time? Seriously? That's awesome, Donovan. That's beautiful. Good. I love that. And I'll tell you, that's marriage material right there. I'll tell you what. Look out, girls. Okay.
That's pretty close to cutting them up. I like it. That's a different way of doing a plastectomy. Awesome. Sister Jody. Outstanding. Outstanding. I think that's worth it. Awesome. Any other good reports? This is good. I love it. Sister Mary. That's fantastic. I love it. This is all important steps. My wife and I, we were talking, and I'm just telling you the facts. I'm amazed at, since I was 18, I've never had a credit card that I didn't pay off every month. There was like one or two months, and I got like a little ding, but I'm talking in, you know, whatever, 24 years of having a credit card. And, but since cutting up the credit card, it's just amazing how much less I spend. Imagine that. And again, I don't think I was a spendthrift before, but I think there's definitely a principle to that. So, anything else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Sister. Absolutely. Can everybody hear? Okay, so I'm going to run the microphone back. Instead of paying it monthly, you're paying it weekly. That's good stuff. And ultimately the goal is to be completely debt free and basically self insured in every way, and where we're using cash and positioning ourselves so that we can build wealth and give. And as we talked about last week, that is probably the single most enjoyable thing you'll ever do. It really is. With money. Okay, so let's review very quickly the baby steps, just for the fun of it. Baby step one was to do an emergency fund of $1,000. Good. Baby step number two, pay off all debt. Good. Debt snowball, except for the house. Very good. Number three, yep, exactly. Basically, take the your emergency fund to the next level, 3 to 6 months. Excellent. How about baby step, and then we kind of did, you're going to do baby steps 4, 5. Now, those are you're going to do one after the other, right? Sequentially. You're going to focus, to use a Ramsey speak, you're going to use gazelle intensity. You're going to focus on this and do them one at a time. You don't do them all at once, because we don't do very good at doing things all at once. But when it comes to baby steps 4, 5, and 6, we do these at the same time, but in order, if that makes sense. In other words, if you can't do all of them, if you don't have the funds to do all of them,
do them in order 4 first, then 5 and 6. Number 4 was to invest, remember what the percentage was? 15% of your household income into retirement. Very good. Number 5 was college. Good. Into your children's college fund. To save for the children's college fund. We gave a couple different options on that. Baby step number 6 was to pay off your house early, which I guess different things trigger different people. That to me is so cool. That just, so exciting. And then baby step number 7 is to build wealth and to give. So let's go ahead and begin. We will not be long tonight. We may not even go all the way to 8 o'clock. But this right here, basically, if we do this and we go after this with focus, as if you're married, with as a team, and go after this prayerfully, this is going to work. And what you've been presented here, I do want to balance a little bit of what I've said, okay? I haven't done much of that because I'm not going to teach something and then say don't do it, okay? I think there are a lot of different financial programs that work. I'm talking Dave Ramsey. Now, I'm not about to throw him under the bus. I'm about to tell you there's a bunch that work. But all of them have the same basic premises. And really, all of them are based on just basic Bible and common sense. Things like not spending more than you make, budgeting, saving, investing for retirement. All of these things are just things that perhaps, as Dave Ramsey says, your grandmother would tell you, but we keep our teeth in, is what he says. It's just old, experienced, good wisdom. And you have a plan if you do this. Congratulations for being here. And congratulations for being here on week number 5. There's a lot that are not here because of Pete. My wife didn't even make it. We flew in just a little bit ago. I told her, stay home with the kids. I'm going to be the bad dad tonight. But there's a lot of others that perhaps, they got things going. But there's probably some that just kind of, just attrition being what it is. Doesn't mean they're bad. It just means you're good. Congratulations for being here. And if you'll take this, what you're being placed in your hands is a plan. But here's what we want to start with tonight is this plan has a bunch of people trying to mess up your plan. There's a bunch of people trying to mess up your plan. In fact, every company out there, every major company, has spent incredible amounts of money in an effort to get you off track and to mess up your financial plan. This is just part of it. This doesn't make companies bad, but I don't know if you understand the concept, of course, for-profit companies. They are in it for the money. I don't think that's a bad thing. I know, whatever, I'll just give you a quick economics lesson like you need it, but socialism doesn't work and has never worked, all right? When asked to point at socialist companies at work, it's the new thing. They will point at a couple of, Western European companies that use a modicum of this. They're wealthy. They are homogenous. But if you point at, there's an incredible amount of other systems or examples of this. It doesn't work. For-profit companies do not bother me. In fact, it's what drives and it's what works. But I want you to understand that companies are using every angle to aggressively compete for your money. Look at your neighbor and say, they're after your money. Look at your wife and say, they're after your money. Wives, look at your husband. They're after your money. In fact, we live here in the United States, we live in the most marketed culture in the history of the world. Not just today, but in the history of the world. And every day we are bombarded with an incredible amount of marketing we are being sold to. Now, here's some of the major ways that companies market to us. It's important that we recognize this. The reason is, again, we have a plan. We have a budget. Me and my wife have sat down. We've put these numbers together. These are numbers that work. We feel good about them. But what happens? Somewhere throughout the month, in fact, several times throughout the month, in fact, probably 15, 20 times a day, me or her sees things that we want to buy that are not in the budget. And they are always marketed in a very, very compelling way. So here are some of the major ways that they market to us, and we need to just take a moment and talk about it. The reason is if we know this, we can be able to just be ready and to stay on our budget. Now, number one is personal selling. Everybody say personal selling. Anybody that that's involved in marketing to any degree, if they're going to be successful, they have to know how to market on a personal level. Some of you have heard my dad talk about when he was, before he got in church, he was going to sell Kirby vacuums. Have you read his book? You guys know the story? Honestly, to me, that's one of my favorite parts of my dad's whole book, Journey of a Lifetime. And for those of you that haven't heard it, let me just tell you very quickly. He had been looking for a job, could not find a job anywhere, and his employment history was pretty pathetic, and his work ethic at the time wasn't all that great because of sin and the things he was involved in. But he went one day, and I can't remember the name. It was something Enterprises. You remember? Anyway, started with an H or something. It was this company in, I believe it was Denver. And he applied or called on something they had advertised in the newspaper, and they called him back for an interview. So he goes in, and my dad and like six other people are in this room, and a man gets up, and they literally, it was like they began to have a church service. The guy had this weird like music making machine. It was like, you ever see the guys like down at Santa Monica? They'll play a harmonica while playing the bass, while playing the drums, while. This guy was doing kind of that, and they would have songs about the Kirby vacuums they were going to sell. Like, oh, Kirby, I'm in love with you. I can't remember, but it's, you know, to the song, to the melody of A Bicycle Built for Two. And they had song books. They had all this different stuff. And one of the guys that was a potential salesman actually fell over in his chair, fell on the ground, if I remember right, and had to leave. He was laughing so hard at the nonsense. But my dad never knew it. Okay, he could not. My dad is the greatest preacher in the world, but he was not a vacuum salesman. Couldn't sell him for nothing. It was so bad. He went to a house one day, was trying to sell it to this lady, and she said, "You're not very good at this, are you?" He said, no. How many of you sold? None. Well, she starts showing him how to sell. And she, before it was over, the lady almost sold him her car. No joke. And my dad's a lot better at because of that, he is the best. Listen, if you ever get into sales, I'll give you my dad's number. He'll do a good job. In fact, Philip, when you ever have those meat people that'll knock on your door trying to sell meat? Is it Omaha Meats or whatever? They knocked on Philip's door a few years ago, and Philip said, I'm not interested, I'm sorry. They said, well, if you know anybody that is, we'll give you free meat. And he said, I know somebody. He points at my dad's house. About 30 minutes later, the guy said, dude, that's the best referral ever here. And he's throwing meat at Philip. So that wasn't his strong suit. But I am telling you, there are people that are incredible at selling. They're incredible at selling. They're geniuses at selling. And really, a lot of it can be taught. There's just certain things you do. You don't let people walk out the door. Dave Ramsey talks about how if somebody asked you a question, if you're a car salesman, for instance, you never answer yes or no. You just answer a question with a question. You know, do you have this car in red? And you say, well, I can check on that, but do you want a two or a four car door car, two or a four door car? And they say, well, I want a two door. And you say, well, so you want the sports model then, or do you want the luxury model? Well, I think I might want the luxury model, and you just go from there. Before it's over, you've created this entire list of what they want, and how many have ever walked into a new car lot? Okay. And it's literally like, or how about this, a furniture store. I don't mean to bash on them, but the big one over by Ontario Mills, literally you walk in and it's like, me and my wife, it's so unnerving. Like the dude chases you through the store. Just, you can be behind a column and you can see him. Like, and they, you know, and I understand they're making a living. I'm not knocking it. But the point is that there's a system to it, and you got to be aware you're being sold to. Okay, and number two, we need to understand that financing and convenient payment methods are a marketing tool. Okay? Financing is part of marketing. All right? Them offering to let you buy something and make payments is a marketing tool. This is a powerful thing to me. You know what the poor ask when they're going to buy something? There's two parts. They want to know, I heard it already, how much is the down payment? And number two, what is the payment? How much am I going to pay per month? How much is my down payment, and how much do I need to pay per month? That's what the poor pay. That's what the poor ask. You know what the rich ask? How much is it? If it's $22,000 and I can get it for $18,000 over there, that's a better deal. Doesn't matter if my payment is, because. And that's a fascinating thing when you begin to learn, and that's not to make us feel bad, but it is to make us think, what difference does it make? Well, I do know what difference it makes how much the payment is, but sometimes if that's all we care about, instead of, we won't even care that we're paying $5,000 or $10,000 more than we should. They're just giving us maybe a better payment system, and at the end of the day, all we've done is just stretch out the pain for down the road. The classic thing when you go buy something, it's 90 days same as cash. 90 days same as cash. Do you know how many people actually pay it off in 90 days? I just heard this today. Guess. Yeah, I'll tell you. It's 12%. That means 88% don't.
88%. And if you're like me, it's like, well, it's the same as.
And they even backtrack it often, where they get the 90-day interest and so on. And then when those payments convert for the 88% to do that, you're talking sometimes interest rates of 24%. That's insane. And that's the way it's sold. Not only is financing part of the marketing, but they make it convenient. They make it convenient. I don't have an iPhone, but Apple is one of the greatest marketers ever. And it's amazing now when you go into the iPhones, the Apple store, you just literally can pick up merchandise and swipe, get the iPhone app and swipe it and walk out the store. You never have to talk to anybody. That's unbelievable. And one of the first things that Apple was challenged on was when they presented this new way of paying for stuff was, what are you going to do about theft? Aren't you worried about shrinkage? And here's their answer. This is such a classic answer. The risk of shrinkage is not worth losing this convenience. You know what that means? In other words, we're going to sell so much more stuff to you guys, we don't care if we get robbed. That's exactly what that means. Now, obviously, they do things to keep people from stealing. But the point is, they know if you can just go through and if it's convenient. It's like Amazon, the one-click option. I love Amazon. I've got you know how many books I have bought that I have never read? But I have preachers all the time. You need to read this book. I type in my phone. I put them in there, and then I go dink, 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 and all of a sudden I've got four or five books showing up. Now, a lot of them I do read, but my poor wife, you should see, I used to make fun of tease my dad about the side of his bed where all his books are. Mine now looks like that. Books stacked to the ceiling almost. And so, but they make it the financing and the convenience, it's part of the marketing. And they know that if you can make it easy, the customer will buy more. Number three, this is part of major way companies market to us. This is an obvious one. They do it through, thank God, not for us, but through television, through radio, through magazine, the internet,
and other media. We are bombarded. And I know we all know this, but I remember when I first started realizing, I'd pick up my phone and say I had been looking at a certain kind of shoes, or my wife had a, we were looking at a washing machine or something. And all the ads, it was funny. It took me a while. I'm slow. But all the ads were that particular type of washing machine. And I thought, what a coincidence. This is amazing. And then it freaked me out. But they're actively pursuing us. And even like for us as a church, the Facebook advertising, somebody suggested to us, do you know it's unbelievable how specific we can be? What's some of the stuff we can do, Brother Philip? Which is great, because we have a Sunday school program. But that's all out there. And so if it's now affordable, everybody can do this. Anybody with any kind of business sense can do this. And because of the convenience and because of the mass push of this, you're going to end up with a garage full of stuff. And you're going to say, who bought all this? Can I tell you? You bought it. I bought it. In fact, they're so good. And this made me think, they are so good that we nowadays, and I'm not going to look around, but we nowadays walk around with a t-shirt that says Nike. We are paying to advertise for them. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's really very, very good. Another huge way that companies use to market stuff to us is what is called product positioning. And first of all, there's a couple ways this is. The first way is not the one you would think of immediately, but product positioning, how they position it in our minds, how they put it in our heads. They, for instance, when you think of like a Mercedes-Benz, Mercedes sell good cars. They make great cars. They're well-built cars. But there's also an idea out there that Mercedes-Benz hold their value. Does anybody kind of think that? Well, I do. Well, really, they don't. They don't. In fact, did you know Cadillac does a lot better than Mercedes at holding their value? I just read that today or heard that today. But Mercedes has done a great job. That is not to take away what kind of car. They're good cars. They're great cars. They're well-designed cars. May cost, you know, $300 for an oil change, but they're good cars. But Mercedes has done a great job in advertising. Here's another one. How about bottled water? Okay. Brother Bob Lee could really talk to us about this. And there's different levels of the exotic brands. Okay. What's the one? Fiji. It's probably the exact same thing as like the one I drink all the time. I love Arrowhead and Nestle, and they talk about it's a lot of the same. It's a lot of the same, and so it's all about marketing. It's all about marketing. Here's another way that companies do this is with shelf position in the store. If you knew how good they are, they say grocery stores are insanely good at positioning stuff. For instance, all the kids' stuff is low. They put stuff that kids will like low so that your kid can grab it and throw a fit in the store. I want Oreos! Yeah. The way when you go to the bookstore, which I haven't done in a long time because there ain't very many of them, but isn't that sad that Barnes & Noble and stuff are almost a thing of the past? What a bummer, especially old bookstores. That's the one I even like. But when you go to places like Barnes & Noble, the best books are not necessarily in front. The books that are in front are the ones that authors or their managers, their agents, their publishers have paid to get near real good spots in the front of the store. And we all know this. When I get in line at a store, I'm telling my kids, like as I walk up, don't even ask for anything. Do not. And why am I saying that? Because there's all these impulse items. There's bubble gum, and there's candy, and there's 50 different kinds of certs, and they're good at what they do. Wrigley's gum. Those people got rich based on this idea right here, and so
this is all part of the way that companies do. So here's, first of all, we just need to know that companies market to us, or how they market to us. But here's something else that we need to talk about, and that is this idea of when you buy something that is above a certain amount, what we will call a significant purchase. When you buy something above a certain amount, which in this case, normally what Dave Ramsey uses and is a good baseline is $300. Anything like $300 or more. Now, for somebody that's very well off, it would be maybe more than that. For somebody that's, it could be lower for someone else. But just to use this number, $300. Did you know, first of all, that your body actually undergoes physiological changes when you make a significant purchase? It really does. Like if it, I'm trying to think of some of the times. The first time I bought a Camry. It was used, but it was like, it was this is a Toyota Camry, okay, a car. When I bought this, up till then I've been buying like old. They were Buick Park Avenues. You remember that? I had like three in a row. I was probably the only 20-year-old in the world that had them, but you could get them for like really cheap, and I refused to finance a car. But I'll never forget, my dad's had enough of me buying junkers and then breaking down on me. And so he said, go buy a good one. So I had cash, but I was going to get the, it was this guy over in L.A. I didn't know him. It was a private purchase. I was a nervous wreck. I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, this, you know, are you a thief? You know, do you own this car? All the different scenarios of how people can rip you off and so on are going through my mind. My palms are sweating. My eyes are dilating. Because it was a significant purchase. And there really is. Did somebody just sneeze? God bless you. That was powerful. I'm sorry. It really was a moment for me. In fact, did you know, this is something interesting, that real estate agents, Dave Ramsey tells this story. He at one point, he was selling really high-end homes. And especially in selling high-end homes, the buyer's remorse is insane. Like the next morning, everybody wakes up and is going like, what have I done? This is crazy. And the amount of people that would come the next day and trying to back out of it. And so it was so prevalent that the real estate company that Dave Ramsey was a part of, they called in like this consultant firm. And this is what they did. They said, here's what you do. When before you make the sale, you have a little speech with them. You say, Brother Frank, I know you're about to buy an $800,000 home. And a significant number of people after buying this, the next morning, they're going to wake up and they're going to regret this. But that's normal. It's okay. You just roll over and go back to sleep. Everything will be okay. And you know that speech was so powerful that over it cut in half by 50% the amount of people that wanted to back out. Isn't that something? But buyer's remorse is powerful. So you really need to think about when you make significant purchases. And the thing is all of us are tempted to make dumb purchases. Every one of us. That's why we're even talking about this. How many have ever seen, I don't see them near as much, but like in front of like grocery stores, like CVS and so on, they used to have all those little mechanical horses you put like a quarter in. I don't even hardly see them anymore. I wonder if it's because people got hurt or somebody fell off, or I don't know. But I don't see them. But did you ever see a kid who had just ridden it like three times and he's on there still and he's screaming, I want to ride again! And he's screaming and his mom's sitting there wringing her hands. And if you're like me, you're like, can I have 30 seconds with him? I'll help you out real quick. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us have that little kid on the carousel horse inside of us. But the deal is, we just got to grow up.
We got to grow up. And there really are some, there are some important steps that we can take so that we can have power over our purchases. Okay? Let me just give these to you very quickly. First of all, wait overnight. When you want to buy this, just wait overnight before making the purchase. And here's the thing. If you're saying there's only one left, no, there's not. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's not like you're buying a Monet or a Renoir or Picasso. You are buying something at Home Depot. There's 50,000 Home Depots, and all of them have them on pallets inside in the back. And if, for instance, they really don't have one more, maybe God did want you to have it anyway. Just let it go. I need somebody to read a verse for me. Proverbs 11 and 29. Who has, can you just pull it up? Anybody got it? As soon as you have it, just wave your hand or let me know somehow. You know what? My bad. It's Proverbs 14, 29. I wrote 11, but I remember. Okay. I want you to notice that last part, the he that hasty part. Read that again. Another translation puts that like this. He who is impulsive exalts folly. That's just a Bible way of saying if you're impulsive in your buying habits or other habits, you're being a fool. And we're all guilty of it. And one of the best things we can do is, like, you're looking at that new car, is go, okay, and just go home and sleep on it. Just go home and sleep on it. Now, listen, there's exceptions to every rule. If you find a 57 Chevy that's in primo shape and they're offered $50, buy the thing, all right? But wait overnight before making large purchases. And everybody said amen. All right. Next, consider our buying motives. This is a big one. Is it a need or a want? That's a big one. I want you to get that. Everybody say need. That's something you have to have. Everybody say want. That's something you want. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, or utilities. I think everybody in this place has those things. Outside of that, it's pretty much a want. And at the end of the day, money cannot buy happiness. It can buy fun, and it should. There's nothing wrong with having a good time and having a great life. In fact, that's really what we're here about. That's why we're here. This is an effort for us to be able to go to sleep at night and know, you know what? I saved my money. I gave to the work of God. I blessed others. I can do good things with it. I can enjoy it and not feel guilty about it. It's okay. Money can bring happiness in the sense, let me say this, money cannot buy happiness, but it can bring fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to skip through some of this, okay? Here's another way to avoid making mistakes and to have power over your purchases. Don't buy stuff that you don't understand. If you don't understand. My eyes are closed. I don't know. I cannot think of anybody in this house that this applies to. But 2008, let me say it quick before I can think of anybody. 2008, there was a housing crash. You know what happened? A ton of people bought with the wrong mortgages. Those variable mortgages. And they didn't understand what they were doing. Interest-only loans. I remember as a young man, I was like, you mean I could have a payment of like $800 and be... And then, in whatever the amount of time was, it adjusted. And we all know the fallout of that. Don't buy stuff that you don't understand. Here's another one. Consider the opportunity cost of money. The opportunity cost. What does that mean? That means whatever you spend your money on, you can't spend it on something else. My dad uses the words, everything in life is a trade-off. The opportunity cost. If you have $5,000 and you go on a cruise, that means you can't put it in a Roth. But if you put it in a Roth, that means you couldn't go on a cruise. And maybe both are okay, as long as you're doing things right. Dave Ramsey tells a story about this guy that he knew. He was young. He was in his 20s.
the guy had some goals in life. He said, when I get out of college, I'm going to work, I'm going to get a job, and when I get to the point where I'm making $100,000 a year, he said, I'm going to pull out of my mutual fund $40,000, and I'm going to go buy a nice car, a nice Mercedes. This is a long time ago, apparently. And he was going to pull that out. Well, he went to the lot. This happened. He got to where he was making $100,000 a year. He was in his 20s. He went to the dealership, and the guy, first of all, kind of looked at him like, "What are you doing here?" You know. He said, "I'm here to buy a car. How are you going to pay for it?" And he's like, "I'm going to write a check, give you cash for it." And the guy instantly was like, "Oh, well, come here, let's talk." And so he leads him to the car. He finds the car he wants. And the guy says, "Why don't you drive it?" And so he takes it for a little drive, comes back. And the guy says, "Why don't you take it home? Just take it home overnight." And you know, that's, I mean, once you do that, you're toast, right? So he takes it home, pulls it in the driveway. His wife comes out. She feels it, smells the new car smell, the leather. They crank the AC. They're looking at all the gadgets. The neighbors come over. Everybody's looking at it. It's a done deal, right? Then this 20-year-old did something he said, "I should have never done." He said, "I pulled out a calculator, and I figured what 40 grand would have been when I retired if I had invested it." So he took the car the next day back, turned the keys in, and left it. Now, the story continues, though. 12 years later, he's driving down the road. He had bought a $6,000 car with cash that he had on hand. And a guy pulls up next to him with a Mercedes that's 12 years old, the exact car. He rolls down the window and says, "Hey, man, where'd you get that car?" He said, "I just bought it." He said, "How much did you have to pay for it?" He said, "I paid $4,000. And so he goes home, and he takes out he went and found his mutual fund. He had put that $40,000 back in his mutual fund, and he never added to it since then. And he pulled out one of his latest statements, and that $40,000 had turned into $300,000. Now, moral of the story, need I elaborate? You have opportunity costs. He could have turned it into $4,000 instead of $300,000. And we need to think about that whenever we spend large amounts. All right, here's another way to have power over our purchases, and this is a good one. Seek counsel with your spouse. Seek counsel with your spouse. My wife is not here, but any time we do anything significant, whether it's giving, we've got to the point, it's almost like eye contact, we know, and it's funny how the numbers will jive so many times, like there'll be a special service and it's like, but we communicate with each other. If somebody wants to borrow money, I could talk to my wife. If I'm going to borrow, if there's a situation when we borrowed our house, I mean, borrowed money for our house, obviously we communicated. This is a Bible concept. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse number 10, I'm going to read this. This is the chapter that deals with the virtuous woman. When I sign, from time to time when I go out to preach, I'll have young people coming up wanting me to sign Bibles. If it's a young man, I always put the verse, Psalms 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." If it's a young lady, almost always I will put Proverbs 31. This is a great a portion of scripture for young ladies, but also for any lady. But Proverbs 31 and 10, the wise man says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart," are you listening? "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." I want to read this in a couple other translations. In the New King James says, "The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain." No lack of gain. Now, that's if you got a virtuous woman. Pray God you do, and I do. Thank you, Jesus. And this applies, of course, the other way around. I don't think we're doing damage to the scripture. Ladies, if you have
if you have a wife, excuse me, if you have a husband that is virtuous, then the heart of the wife doth safely trust in him, so that she shall have no need of spoil, or so that she will have no lack of gain. And so this is an important concept. Now, let's end. It is 7:52. I want to do this in the next 3 minutes. All right? Here's the deal. The whole world is after your plan. If you're trying to save $1,000, every time you go in the grocery store, the Oreos are screaming at you to mess up your plan. Doesn't mean don't buy Oreos. But if they're not in the budget, just wait till the next month and you can buy Oreos or whatever the case may be. Here's some important things on large products. And this is some suggestions for negotiating. Here are some tips for negotiating with large ticket items, okay? And I think that there's certainly nothing wrong with negotiating. In fact, if you don't, my brother-in-law, who's a pro, agrees with this. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you should if it's something like of substance. Now, the first important principle is always tell the absolute truth. We are Christians, and there's nothing worse than a lying Christian. In fact, there is no such thing. You ain't a Christian at that moment. Go pray through and then be a Christian. So if you're going to negotiate, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't even shade the truth. Tell the truth. Number two, this is tips for negotiating. Use the power of cash. Cash still is king. I have a friend, he told me he was not in position to do this, but a friend of his that had been very blessed financially, told him, he said, I want to buy a new truck, and I want you to go buy it for me. He's like, okay, and I want you to go and pay cash. He said, when I walked in that lot, I'm talking like top of the line, the baddest truck on the Ford dealership. He said, I walked in there, and they started asking me, and he said, let me just tell you something up front. I'm going to pay you today in money, in cash. It was like everything changed. You're just in the driver's seat. You control the conversation. You dictate. That dude is literally around your ankle hugging you, like, you know. But use the power of cash. Number three, in negotiating, understand and use walk-away power. I wish my wife was here to tell about the first time she bought her Honda. She bought a little car. I think it was literally, they were negotiating. I mean, she's like 18 years old. But she told the guy, there was like a $100 difference. And the guy was like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, lower it. And he's like, I can't. And he probably could have, but he didn't. So she walks out the door and left the dude standing. There's nothing wrong with walking away. Sometimes they'll call you. Sometimes they won't. But there's nothing wrong. Don't pay more than you can afford. Here's a good one in tips for negotiating. Learn to shut up. Learn the power of silence. I probably shouldn't tell you this as your pastor. I can tell you this. In Bible studies, I do this all the time. I'll get to the end of a Bible study, depending. But if it's like somebody that needs, like I'm doing Holy Ghost or whatever, I'll get to the end. And I mean, we just did Acts 2:38. Like, you need the Holy Ghost. And they know it. And it's like in their face. Because if I talk, I release the whole decision-making thing. I've done it before in counseling. I shouldn't tell this. Whatever. I mean, I was talking to a guy one time. Nobody here will know, and so it's all good. I literally said, when I get to this point in this meeting, I told myself ahead of time, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to sit. I don't care how long it was. It was, you ready? It was 2 minutes. I'm looking at my clock. He doesn't know. I'm looking at my phone. 10 seconds. You do that in certain settings when you're dealing with somebody. They will begin like a salesman. They don't like that dead time.
start talking. And a lot of times, not always, this is just tips for negotiating, they'll start talking themselves down and actually lowering the price on occasion. Number five, tips for negotiating is learn to say, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. When they make a concession, that's not good enough. Number six, learn to identify the good guy, bad guy deal, right? Good cop, bad cop. Here's a classic. I remember buying our van, and when we went in there, it was kind of like the salesman was the good guy. He liked us. It was instantaneous. Like, we were like really good friends in like 30s. He really liked us. It was unbelievable. And I mean, he would have watched babysat our kids, or the guy was like in our corner. He was our friend. But there was a manager there, and he warned us kind of about him. It was not a good guy. And I got to go talk to him, you know. I mean, it was hilarious. Like, he would walk away and go eat candy bars in the back room, probably. Come back and say, I'm sorry, the manager won't do that. That's part of the game. You need to just tell the guy, oh, tell your manager I'm sorry, and leave. But that, you need to be aware of that. This is something I haven't done, but they reference this. Master the, if I take away, unquote, technique. If I take away, technique. What this is, and they gave the example of this. There's a guy that was trying to buy a house, and say the price was like $300,000. Well, he notices, and he wants them to go down. They wouldn't negotiate. He sees this beautiful boat in the driveway, and he says, "All right, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. This is the buyer. If you're not going to lower the price, if you'll throw in that boat, I'll pay $300,000 for that in the boat." Well, they're like, there's no way we're getting you our boat. And so he says, okay, well, if you're not going to do the boat, then I need you to either lower the price or throw something else in. Well, do you see what happened? Instantly, they're like in a different stage of negotiation with this boat that was never really even in the picture. Okay? I'm not talking about being dishonest, but this is something that they'll do and that can work. And in all of this, here's the point. Don't be afraid to negotiate big items. Don't stand there just terrified like they're in control. You control your finances. You know what's a wise decision. You know how much you can afford. Don't go in there and let them take control of you. Because at the end of the day, these are professionals that are very good at marketing. All right. I'd like us to take a moment, and we're going to do something. If you have your book, I meant to make copies. I didn't. So, how many do not have a book? No, no shame here. It's all good. Okay? We got one, two, I got a bunch. One, two, three, four, five, six. I got a bunch. I got too many. What if we did this? Can you find somebody next to you? How many do have a book? Okay? All right. I have an extra book right here. Who needs a book? Who needs a book? Sister Betty, you guys need a book? Okay. You can use this one for right now. If you could join up with somebody, if you don't have a book, if you could join up with somebody that does. Ideally, we would do like husbands with wives, but we cannot do that because of the book. So if you could join up with somebody that does. You guys good? Donnie, Brother Avila, you need somebody? The Lozanos have a book. Do you have a book? You good, Johnny? If you don't have a book, do you need some? Does anybody need somebody that they can join up with? Everybody good? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I think it is page 82. Is that the need want one? 81. Turn to page 81. And we're going to do that one. Okay, on page 81. So, here's the deal. You're going to find this quiz there, and this is to help us find the difference between wants and needs. If you're able to work with your spouse, if you're married, that's cool. If you're alone, partner up with another person, I think that's working out because some of us don't have books. And then Think through each item as you work through the list together, and if you disagree on some items, dig in and figure out why. And so what you're doing is you're just trying to see, they'll have a list here, and see which are needs and wants. All right, let me clarify first off. This first one is neither. Obviously, this is not written by apostolic, so just do your best as you go through. There's a couple that are kind of goofy, so...